What happens when you get water on a table?
I don't know.
What?
It becomes a pool table.
It's time for the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
Have you ever jumped in a puddle just for play? Waded in a creek on a sunny day? Do you know how to swim? Do you love to splash? Do you like to blow bubbles in your bath? Well, you can't live without it, it goes with bread. If you don't have it, you'd be dead. Water, sweet water, everybody needs sweet water. Clean water, clean water, everybody needs clean water. Always pick up some litter when I canoe with my kids on the river. You never know what you'll find, what some people leave behind. I was paddling near a spring when I found the strangest thing. There in the water was a bottle of spring water. Spring water, spring water, everybody needs spring water. Clean water, clean water, everybody needs clean water. Well, there's lots of stuff, it flows downstream, but that ain't the stuff you wanna drink. Don't pollute it, don't dilute it, don't add anything unnatural to it. Gotta keep it clean on the river's bend, for ourselves and our wild friends. That water, sweet water, everybody needs sweet water. Clean water, clean water, everybody needs clean water. Sweet water, sweet water, everybody needs sweet water. Clean water, clean water, everybody needs clean water.
That was Clean Water off All Along the Watershed. You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. I'm here with a lot of great kids at the Outpost Performance Space and on Zoom. Hello, everyone.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
And who do we have with us today?
Hello, it's Amadeus.
Hi, it's Daniel.
Hello, this is Cade.
Hi, it's Beth.
Hi, it's Isaac.
Today on the show, you guys, we're going to be talking about watersheds. Do you know what a watershed is?
No, I don't have the slightest clue, actually.
It seems like a place where maybe you'd put, like, tools that go in your pool or something. But I don't think that's what it is. We're going to be speaking with people who are doing very complicated work in cleaning up watersheds after forest fires. We've got so much coming up. Stick with us. This is the Children's Hour.
Rhythms in the lapping of the waves. The oars lie patiently to take a drink. I tiptoe down the rocks, wearing holes in all my socks. Time stands still, I think. The sun wakes up and reaches through the dark. The moon just shakes its head and waves goodbye. I step into the boat, push off, and there I float. Time stands still, I sigh. Down to the water, no place here on earth I'd rather be. Down to the water, time stands still with me. I balance in the middle of the boat. The wood is hard but greets me nonetheless. In my hands I hold each oar, stroking further from the shore. Time stands still, oh yes. Down to the water, no place here on earth I'd rather be. Down to the water, time stands still with me.
Hey,
place here on earth I'd rather be. Down to the water, time stands still with me.
That was Down to the Water by Tim Seston off Who I Am. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and today on the show, we're learning about watersheds. We have a lot to learn. With us is Dr. Krista Bonfantine. She's an ecologist. Hello. Welcome to the Children's Hour.
Hi.
And we have Natalia Shaw. She is the Education and Outreach Coordinator for the New Mexico Forest and Watershed Restoration Institute.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. And we have your assistant with us, too, Raimundo Melendez. Welcome to the Children's Hour.
Thank you.
What exactly is a watershed?
That's a great question. And I think most people might not have a complete understanding of what it is, because it's not a shed that holds water. But what it is, it's an area of land that is made up of streams, rivers, creeks, lakes. And that entire area of land, all that water drains to a common outlet. So that could be to a large river, an ocean, or anything similar to that. And everyone lives in a watershed.
No matter where you are on planet Earth.
Yeah, we all live in a watershed. And I just thought I'd add, in other parts of the world, they refer to watersheds as catchments or basins. And sometimes thinking about it as a basin, you can kind of think about it like your sink or your bathtub. And the water in your bathtub and your sink have two different basins, but they end up joining together in the pipe that leaves your house. And so that common outlet that Natalia mentioned, they're all nested together. So there's little tiny watersheds and they all fit together and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
When the water gets collected and goes through the watershed, where does it end up going after that?
Watershed consists of water that we find on the surface of the land, so like a lake, a river, but it also consists of the water underground. And both sources of that water is really important source of drinking water. Here in the Southwest, we rely on a lot of groundwater, and so that is a really crucial part of our watersheds.
What exactly does your organization do?
Yeah, so we work across the entire state of New Mexico. We also work with awesome people in Colorado and Arizona. And we work with a lot of communities to engage the larger community and state in protecting our watersheds and protecting the health of our forests. So some of our forests are in a state where they are currently degraded and we need to return them to a state of health. And there's other forests where we need to maintain their health. And so we do a lot of work with people and students just like you all to try to engage people in the work that creates healthy watersheds and healthy forests.
What does some of that work look like?
One of them is monitoring. We travel around the full state and we look at what has happened in previous years. So we start off at a certain year, and then 5 years later, we'll check that, and we'll redo the same measurements on everything. But they have to have a treatment, okay? So they might have a thinning, they might have a prescribed fire, they might have something that is making this forest less congested. That's the best way I can say it, is because some of these forests, they have many different species. So within these species, some of them are fire adaptive and some of them are not. So when you have these trees, as a manager, you got to actually see which ones can handle and which ones can't. So when you do your prescription, kind of like when a doctor gives you a pill to say, you know what, hey, you know, you have a cold, you know, you're not doing too well. Well, as foresters, you know, and here at the New Mexico Forest and Watershed, we help assist BLM, State Forestry, Forest Service. And when we do monitor, you know, we do it every year. So after 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, we see how this land has changed. And if it's doing well. So what we look at into is what kind of vegetation is below to the top. And when I'm talking about that, is I'm talking about grasses all the way up to big trees. We identify what tree species are there. So that's one thing that we look into is, hey, is this native or not?
Are you looking at like how clean the water is? Do you take water samples and see if the water is clean?
Well, Rain trickles down into the river or into water, any water substance. So what's the first thing it hits? It's going to hit trees first. It's going to hit plants first before it hits the soil. So before anything is filtered, it has to go through that. So like, for example, after this fire that we had, the Calf Canyon Hermit's Peak fire, a lot of that soil got disintegrated. It got a lot of ash in it, and it's undrinkable water. So with all that water, you know, from rain coming down, it's hitting this soil that is now destroyed, you know, because it takes thousands of years for soil to be made, thousands. And when that little soil is disintegrated, it's like, all right, there's nothing here, so you're going to have a lot of flooding. And you don't have trees, or how should I say it? Like, you don't have
plants
vegetation
holding back the floods. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have it holding it back because they're like anchors. Think of it as a ship. You know, you have your anchor. It's sturdy. It's safe. But when you have rain come down, it's like it gets pushes down fairly quickly. So when all this water is going down, it's coming down at a fast motion. So when it goes into your water, it's basically undrinkable, unusable. You know, it'll kill fish. It'll kill, you know, it'll kill us if we drank it, but it's always best not to even try that or drink it.
It's a concern having water be contaminated with the ash from forest fires, and that's why forest health is so important. That's Raimundo Melendez. He's the Assistant Education and Outreach Coordinator for the New Mexico Forest and Watershed Restoration Institute. We've got a lot more questions for our guests. Stick with us. This is the Children's Hour. That was Drop of Water by Flor Bromley off Pachamama. Today on the Children's Hour, we're talking about watersheds and wildfires. Joe has our next question.
How do you clean after a forest fire?
Fixing an area of land that's been affected by a fire we use the word restore, so bringing a degraded landscape back to a healthier state. And I think one of the first steps in doing that is restoring the relationship between humans and land. So one of the things that we do is we work with a lot of community members. These are the people that are on the ground that are some of the people that have been most impacted by fires. And so we work with people to try and teach them about what just happened on your land, what do we expect to see in the future. And by answering those questions, we start to form a better understanding of how the land is working. And in that way, we have a better idea of how we can help restore it. So restoration is really the act of humans aiding nature to return to that healthy state. And we also do that through educational activities. We work with K through 12 youth, and we teach them about watershed, about forest health. What does a healthy forest look like? What does a healthy forest sound like? If you're walking in the forest, how do you know that whether or not that forest is healthy? So it takes a lot of work to restore a forest or even a watershed after a fire. But I think one of the first components is involving different communities, especially those that are being first impacted.
Are you like planting plants to clean the water? Are you adding sand? I'm trying to understand what can possibly take water that has heavy metals and ash and make it clean enough to even use on irrigation.
There's various methods, and it really depends on the watershed. So one restoration method is replanting, and it's important to consider what types of plants you want to plant post-fire, but replanting is important for helping to hold soil in place so that we're not getting increased erosion when we have rains. Right now, or just this summer, we had our monsoon season in which we had heavy rains, and we saw a lot of the post-fire soils eroding into our water channels. So our rivers, our streams, our creeks. And although erosion is good and it's a natural process, too much of it is bad. And the only thing that holds that soil in place is plants. So bringing plants back is one form of restoration and helping a forest to recover.
What are the main benefits of restoring a forest after a fire?
So one is clean water. A lot of our water originates or starts in a forested landscape. And so if our forests are unhealthy, it's very likely that the water flowing downstream will also be unhealthy. So clean water is one benefit of a healthy forest. Another is activities that we all like to engage in. Some of us like to go camping, hiking, fishing, hunting, and all of those things we can do and really enjoy in a forest that is healthy.
That's Natalie Shaw. She's the Education and Outreach Coordinator for the New Mexico Forest and Watershed Restoration Institute. Coming up after the break, more on forest fires and watersheds. We're broadcasting this during a time when there are a lot of forest fires in the southwestern United States and around North America and the world. We're hoping everyone stays safe.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Pocket Radio.
We'll be right back.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated. We're a New Mexico-based nonprofit organization supported by listeners just like you. Learn more about us at childrenshour.org. Museum of Indian Arts and Culture and Museum of International Folk Art, divisions of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, support the Children's Hour. Learn more about both museums at newmexicoculture.org/museums. Electric Playhouse supports the Children's Hour, now open in Las Vegas, Nevada, inside the Forum Shops at Caesars Palace. Learn more at electricplayhouse.com.